So what if instead of focusing on trying to figure out alcohol, you tried to figure out yourself? You learned how to do all of the things that you think alcohol is doing for you, but better. You tapped into really understanding what the messages from your body meant and how to use your emotions to your advantage and how to really expand your desires to get what it is you finally really want and have real, lasting, sustainable pleasure. That is possible for you, and it is all available to you in the self-study course, The Naturally Sober Woman. It is everything that I teach my one-on-one clients, but it is compact for you. Lifetime access on demand at a super affordable price available to you right now. You're going to go to my website, marywagstaffcoach.com. Right there, it'll say self-study course, or follow the link in the show notes right here. Get in there. One short video, just the welcome ceremony. There's a beautiful commencement ceremony that really anchors you into your intention for wanting to make this change into your life, will change your life forever. It'll put you on a trajectory of new possibility, because the bigger your desire is, the easier it's going to be to say goodbye to alcohol. So go on over to my website, get inside of The Naturally Sober Woman, and I will see you in there. Do you ever feel like you're outgrowing alcohol, that you are longing for a deeper connection to life? If alcohol is keeping you playing small and feels like the one area you just can't figure out, you are in the right place. Hi, my name is Mary Wagstaff. I'm a holistic alcohol coach who ended a 20-year relationship to alcohol without labels, counting days, or ever making excuses. Now I help powerful women just like you eliminate their desire to drink on their own terms. In this podcast, we will explore the revolutionary approach of my proven 5 shifts process that gets alcohol out of your way by breaking all of the rules, and the profound experience that it is to rediscover who you are on the other side of alcohol. I am so thrilled to be your guide. Welcome to your journey of awakening. Hi everyone, it's Mary. Just a quick note before we start the show today. This is a 1 of 3 part series. I had my marriage coach, Dr. Siobhan, on the podcast, and she completely drop some wisdom for me and for all of our listeners in what is one of the biggest, issues when it comes to changing your relationship with alcohol is often our intimate relationships. It inevitably comes up in all of my coaching. And whether or not you're in an intimate relationship, like with a spouse, someone that you live with or not, you do have other relationships in your life. So make sure to take notes and ask, how does this apply to me? Because it inevitably will. We're always all in relationship. And, we do touch on even, the dynamics of friendships, and there's so much wisdom to take away from these 3 episodes. So I highly encourage you to listen to all of them, even invite your spouse to listen to them with you, or listen to it first and then share it. This is definitely an episode worth sharing, and one that's going to go down in history, because it's one of my favorite interviews I've ever done. I learned so much. So enjoy today's show. Welcome back to the show, my beautiful listeners. Thank you so much for being here for another episode of Stop Drinking and Start Living. And if you're new to the show, welcome. You are in the right place. This is a comfy little cozy circle, and you are in for such a treat today. This is kind of the first of its kind, having one of my own personal coaches who knows my story on the show to share her expertise with us. And of course, you will all end up hearing a little bit probably more about my relationship in light of this. So welcome to the show, Dr. Siobhan.
Thank you so much for having me, Mary. I'm honestly so delighted to be here.
Yeah, it's so awesome to have you. Dr. Siobhan has supported Matthew and I through our relationship, really through a really pivotal time in our lives. So I did want you, if you wouldn't mind, just introducing yourself a little bit and kind of the depth of the work that you do in the world.
Oh my gosh, where do you even start with that, right? Oh. So if you were to look up like my Instagram or go on my website, you would see that I'm a life and marriage coach. And that basically my goal is to help couples communicate better, to feel more close, and to really enjoy their relationship more. I think talking to anyone. That's the whole point of being partnered, is to enjoy each other, to give love, to receive love. And many times when that's not happening, people will identify like communication as the thing that's standing in the way. So I lead with that a lot. Yeah. But you know, right? Like doing this work, it's so much more than that, right? So any words that are coming out of your mouth, any ways you're interacting with your partner have more to do with so many deep layers of you. And so we do a lot of inner work. We do a lot of connecting the dots from our childhood and the ways that we've been conditioned and the ways that we've adapted to situations in childhood and what that looks like in terms of our coping behaviors, which I know is so relevant to this topic, and how that shows up in our interactions. And so it's sort of like we have the goal of like, yes, we want the great communication. Yes, we want to feel close. Yes, we want to enjoy each other. But this is the pathway to getting there. And so we do some of that deep work to really help people not only have like the surface level change that they want, but like the internal shifts that create the really transformed relationship that they're looking for.
Yeah. Oh, it's such good work. And it's like, I just have to say, Dr. Siobhan, you got to check her out. And she has a podcast as well. But, you know, your approach is so disarming too, where it's like, we don't have to, it's like the biggest thing, right? Our relationships, because it's our reflection of each other, how we spend our days and the people we share space with, but we can also be light about it and like not take it that seriously. And I think that is kind of a little bit of the paradox sometimes with coaching. It's like, we can't take our thoughts that seriously because we have so many of them.
Right. And it's like, it's for many of us, this is scary work, right? It feels scary to like go inside your brain, understand what you're thinking, why you're thinking it, then come up with different behaviors you want to enact and like following through on that. And so, yes, my approach is very dynamic. And yes, as Mary said, I have a podcast. Her and Matthew are actually on the podcast if you want like that scoop as well. But he said, right? Like he said, thank you for making this fun. And I never forgot that, because that has always been my intention. It is just part of my personality. And I don't like to do anything, whether it's easy or challenging, if there's not an element of fun and lightness and not taking it too seriously, and also having so much deep compassion for like how you've gotten to wherever you've gotten. So, yeah.
Yeah, absolutely. Like it's your story and we get to just kind of examine it and rewrite it. And so I think it's a good segue, because one of the things that I talk to people about when it comes to changing their relationship with alcohol, obviously I'm working one-on-one with women. I'm not working dynamically with partners. And we're going to kind of explore a few different scenarios today with Dr. Siobhan, because alcohol shows up in just such different dynamic ways. But the first thing that I tell people is you can't really make this change together with someone else. Well, at least you have to go in. Now I kind of want to have your take on that. If you want to make this change, expecting someone else to kind of make the work easier, is going to set yourself up for failure, because you have two different brains. Now this could come to your spouse or even kind of like a buddy system. Now I do know like group support things, the program with Dr. Siobhan is in a group setting, and it is inspiring to see other people and the way they're doing it. And it's not like just you that has these problems, right? So what do you say about that, about creating change and starting?
Yeah. And partnership, right? Change into partnership. So it's so interesting. I think it is, and we see this inside the program as well, but anything in your life, you can sign up together for, and yet it's still your own individual journey. And as soon as you started saying that, I thought about, gosh, probably 20 years ago, my best friend and I signed up to do a half marathon. And we were like so gung-ho about it. And we had this plan of training, and I kept to it and she didn't. And then, you know, on the day of the race, we just decided, like, run your own race. Like, I'm going to be a part of this, but like run your own race and we'll meet where we meet. And so I think a lot of times when it comes to making any change in your life, and certainly alcohol is no different, that the things that brought you to that place are all different, right? Like each of you has a different set of experiences, a different set of, you know, just like tendencies and all the things. And so you can have a partner that might be on board, right? And again, we see this in the program where both of them have signed up to like work on their marriage together. And some days one person is there 100% for the topic. And other days the other person is like in their old habits. And that is all okay. And I think the more you allow greater flexibility in the belief that like, okay, at the end of the day, we both want the same thing. We want to be happy. We want to be fulfilled. We want to feel healthy. We want to feel aligned with like who we want to be in the world. And my way of getting there and my timeline to getting there may not look exactly the same as my partner's.
Yeah. So well, I just love like the motto, run your own race. It's so good. Right. Cause you're, I mean, even in that metaphor for you, it was like real life. Right. But in that metaphor, there's other people there training to inspire you and do the thing. And if, you know, you do have a conscious relating partner who's willing to have a conversation, and this is kind of another topic, you can set, you know, the standards or the expectations, and there could be something agreed upon inside of that, right? Like, so I'll just kind of give a little example too. Matthew and I, this is kind of leading into a little bit more about what I wanted to talk about, how alcohol can play a pretty big role in the development of a relationship oftentimes, right? Where it's like, footloose and fancy free, and you're out having drinks and everything's so fun. And as the dynamic changes, alcohol can start to play not as much fun of a role, and it can create habits and a lifestyle that maybe you're not choosing. And then at that point, it's a habit and alcohol is addictive. And so the changes can be more challenging to make. And I don't know how much you know about my work, but I don't really run off a lot of the traditional models of kind of sobriety and recovery, that there's like normal drinking and like troubled drinking, that it really is a spectrum. And it's a really individual choice of how it's impacting you as a person, so on and so forth. So with Matthew and I, we kind of had started like that, where it was footloose and fancy free, but you know, it was pretty heavy partying. And then as we had more responsibilities, and then of course had a baby, we were realizing this is not the dynamic of the lifestyle that we want to choose. And we had tried to quit many times together. And it wasn't until we decided to run our own race that we could support each other like from a distance. But it did take a really conscious decision, and also the awareness of seeing like why that didn't work, why that piece of essentially enabling, right? It's like, and I think this even happened in the program. And one of the things that we had coached on the last call, I think, was you had said, asking the question, where am I using my spouse as a crutch for not doing my work? So that's just kind of to to like
I add love that question so much. I'm like, gosh, it's such a good question,
right? So for anyone that's listening, that's in this dynamic conversation, that is having the conversation with their partner or not, but does, if you're listening to this, you obviously want to create change in your life around alcohol. And so you can just ask yourself that question, where am I using my partner as a crutch for not doing my own work? And I think that a lot of times people do think if the circumstance changed, it would be easier. But tell me what you know about that.
Listen, there are times when, yes, circumstantially, things feel easier, yeah, right? But it is really the interplay of like the circumstances and the mindset that you adopt to create an experience of greater ease for yourself. And I think that's really important. One of the things I'm so like on teaching people is tolerating negative emotion, right? And I think this is a really good example of that, of like, when we go to the gym or when we go to work out or when we go to the doctor's office, like it is a physically uncomfortable experience for our bodies. Yet we have a certain mindset that enables us to tolerate it, that enables us to go through that experience and not break all the way down. 90% of us, right? So it's not the circumstance, right? You're in a experience that is putting your body through physical harm and pain, right? And yet when it comes to emotional experiences, we really attach ourselves to things needing to look a certain way or be a certain way in order for our emotions to be good or positive. And I think that when you develop the capacity to just have tolerance for experiencing a negative emotion and not take action to try to control a situation or make a situation or use a situation not changing as the reason to stay in a negative emotional state, then like you really are doing yourself a disservice. And so, yes, I am of the mindset that, yeah, certain circumstances do 100% make things easier, but all circumstances are temporary, yeah. Right? And so you never want to rely 100% on something needing to be a certain way in order for you to be able to move yourself forward or make the progress that you need that's ultimately going to create emotional well-being for you.
Yeah. Yeah. So well said. Absolutely. Yeah. I mean, and that's why this approach to changing one's relationship with alcohol is really about the intersection between behavior and belief. Belief, because of the cultural experience as well of like how prolific it is in our culture, runs so deep. Like there is a lot to unpack there, but if you go around just trying to change the circumstance, you are going to exhaust yourself and you're never going to be able to go anywhere. when it comes to alcohol, you're never going to be able to go anywhere if it's really about the circumstance. And so, I think it's about, like Brooke Castillo says, if you leave, you take your mind with you. So get to yourself to a good place first and then make the decision. Like, know you have your own back. And then be able to make the decision. And I love the metaphor too about like we go to the gym, we go to the dentist, we go to the doctor, and we are experiencing discomfort because we've already told ourselves that the result is like worth it, right? And so I tell people all the time, if you go to yoga, what do you do in a yoga pose? You do not hold your breath, right? You breathe. And when you breathe, you stretch, right? And you literally expand your capacity to be able to be in a new physical shape in your body, right? And it's just the way we've associated emotions in our lives and being comfortable with different sensations in our body. But it really is virtually the exact same thing, even when it comes to physical like pain, right? Like getting hurt or, you know, I mean, that's intense work too, but yeah, it's a real thing. And the behavior part of it, and I will like alcohol is no joke. It definitely creates physical and emotional urges on top of that. But what I've seen through this work and through my own firsthand experience is that the beliefs run really deep, and those create more of the cravings and the urges and the discomfort than the chemical itself. The chemical itself, you can pretty balance out pretty quickly. Obviously there's lots of different circumstances around that. But so yeah, I think that's awesome. So one of the things I would like to kind of switch to is when you do get to that point, so say that you are deciding, like you're in a relationship and both people are drinking in the relationship, and that's just kind of how you've always done things. And then you decide for yourself, I don't like the effects that this is having on me. I work with a lot of women who are just kind of starting to go through like another threshold of change in their life, like pre-menopause kind of stuff like that. And they're maturing, like alcohol is just not really fitting into their lifestyle anymore. And it's challenging to change. And So you get yourself to that place, but on the other side of it, you have this spouse who is, so there's a few ways that this goes. So let me just ask you a few different scenarios. One, the person completely rebels. This happens all the time. I see this where the person goes the other direction and they like their drinking goes even deeper because now they've just like lost their drinking buddy. What do you do?
Yeah. I mean, so when they're completely rebelling, right? You have to take that for what it is. And whenever I'm working with clients, no matter what, when they are now unhappy with something that their partner is doing, the question I always ask is, were they doing this in the beginning? Mm-hmm. Right? And that is just data that you want to have. So if you've now changed the rules of engagement, you've changed the way you operate as a couple for great and amazing and wonderful reasons for your own growth, right? We love that. We want to support that growth and transition for you. But if your partner is not there yet, the growth for you in being able to tolerate that or experience greater peace in that is accepting that they aren't there yet.
Yeah.
And recognizing that, like, if you're changing the rules of engagement for what this relationship looks like, there is an adjustment period, right? Now, sometimes you may hit it right on the head and both of you are like, okay, we're both ready to change, or I support you in your change and I'm going to like modify my behavior so that you don't have to see this or be exposed to this as much all the time, right? If they want to continue drinking. But there is like a renormalization that needs to take place and you need to kind of see it as such. And in that process, also decide for yourself, if I'm changing a major component of this relationship and my partner is not yet ready, what do I want to do about that? Right. And I think you have to be a little bit unattached. That's going to help you create a more peaceful experience for yourself. Because if they're now rebelling and coping the way that they know how to cope, right, then you just have to look at that for what it is. It is not something that you even really need to be upset about. It's just a data point. I love to look at dynamics in a relationship and how each person is showing up as a data point. Mm-hmm. And then you get to evaluate, does this work for me? And I think the mistake that a lot of people get into is like, when it doesn't work for you, you spend a lot of time and energy trying to change the circumstance of your partner, you know, trying to get them on board with it, trying to get them to understand, trying to get them to see the benefits. And yes, there's time and space for that, but you want to share what's working for you in your own journey from a place of non-attachment, meaning they don't have to get it. They don't have to change at the end of that conversation, but that you're just showing up fully and authentically as you are now in this current state.
Yeah. Yeah. And I think looking at giving time for an adjustment period, you know, transitions, that's something that I talk about. I've been talking about even more is we have big transitions and we have little transitions every single day, right? Going from your work day as a coach to being mom, there's this transition. And often transitions are when people drink, right? They were kind of, it's like that recalibration that we're getting used to, just like going from the heat to the cold. And I think becoming aware of bigger shifts and bigger dynamics, and yes, allotting time and patience for that is going to create an energy that's going to be so much more inviting as well. Because when there's that push-pull, that often we see it with children, right? It's like, don't tell me what to do. I'm grown. I want to do what I want to do. I don't, you know, have a problem. Like, this was your choice. You know, it can show up in many ways. And I've seen that happen. And that being able to witness that person going through like they're, you know, yeah, having this big shift is creating an awareness for them, because especially when it comes to alcohol, it can be very confronting. And it is for a lot of relationships, even friendship groups. It's like, oh, we're reflections of one another in so many ways. It's like, oh, you're not drinking anymore. Well, what does that mean about me? Right. So when that person has to kind of look at themselves and in that dynamic, then yeah, sometimes they're not ready and they often go the other way. What do you think about the difference between creating?
Okay, friends, that's today's show. I hope that you took notes and you took a lot away from today's episode. Go and apply it to your life and get super curious about how this shows up for you. And tune in next week for the next two episodes. We're going to be diving deeper. Next week, we're going to talk about boundaries and ultimatums. And there is just so much ripe wisdom here that is going to really not only just help you in you know, untangling your relationship with alcohol, but really the dynamic of how you are going to show up in relationship for the rest of your life. There is so, so much here that could really, really shift the enjoyment and the fulfillment of your life and feeling like you have choice. So tune in, share this, and I can't wait to have you back next week. Talk to you soon. As much as I know you would love to, you cannot wish yourself alcohol free. You have to take action to do something different. So what I want you to do is head on over to my website, marywagstaffcoach.com, where you can download the free training of the 5 shifts of intuitive drinking, along with a free guide of questions that you can ask yourself every single day when you have an urge, when you have a craving, when you wake up in the morning. You can make it a ritual practice to start to observe yourself in a new way. And it will guide you through the process of learning to tap into your own deeper knowing so that you can develop a new relationship to yourself, which will in turn end your relationship to alcohol. MaryWagstaffCoach.com to register for the free on-demand training right now.